creation. And of course, it's not new to us, thankfully, and we're planning on have a couple more baptisms that are in the works already. Desiree and I just talked to Drew, and so yesterday over text. So looking forward to. I'm probably forgetting someone there in the. Yes, there's at least one more person that I'm forgetting. So let's talk about baptism for just a few minutes. We have a packed service today, but I want you to go with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Just a few moments on baptism. And what is the symbolism and purpose of baptism? There are all kinds of baptism methods used in today's world. There was a preacher. You might have seen a preacher say something like this. The preacher says, well, if you're not baptized, but you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, then put your hand right on the screen, the television screen, and you'll be baptized. So there's baptism by touching the screen. And then there is there's the preacher who was baptizing his congregation, and his water ran out. So he picked up the nearest thing, and it was a bottle of Coke, and he started baptizing with Coca-Cola. So there's the Coca-Cola baptism. There's oil baptism. There is the Protestant, what's become a Protestant tradition of the baptismal font, the small baptism that children are often, and adults as well, baptized with the sprinkling. There's sometimes mass baptisms where they have hundreds or thousands of people come into large pools or ocean or into the river or Jordan River, which is very popular. These the ancient Jewish rite of baptism that was practiced around the time of Jesus and before, where they had these baptistries carved out of stone, and there were stair steps going down, there was a set of stairs going down with a divider. You would walk down one side into the water, and then you'd walk up the other side. So baptism has taken many forms. But then there's the baptism that is taught in Scripture. After all, the Bible says that we have one Lord, one faith, and anybody know what the next word is?
One
baptism. And the baptism of Scripture is typified in the ministry of John the Baptist. The Bible says John the Baptist baptized at the river Anan. Does anybody know why he baptized there? That was a favorite spot of his. There was much water, yes, because baptism is what you did to pickles. I made pickles for the first time this last summer. And oh, they were good. I can't wait to grow cucumbers again. Took my brine and the herbs and spices and some oak leaves, and I baptized my cucumbers. Put them in that water, and they were baptized. And they made wonderful sandwich additions. Or you would do it when you took your lamb's wool. You had sheared your sheep, and you would take that wool, and maybe you wanted crimson wool. So you would take your wool, and you would baptize it in that crimson dye. And that's baptism. Baptism simply means to immerse something. And it is actually used in an ancient pickle recipe. The word baptizo, or a form of that word, is used in an ancient pickle recipe because that's what you did. You dipped them in the brine to make pickles. Why did the Bible choose this dipping, this immersing process as a rite of passage in the Christian faith? Look with me in your Bibles in Romans chapter 6. You may be there already. Romans chapter 6. Paul is dealing in Romans, at least in this section, with the issue of sin. And he asks this question after chapter 5 ends with this powerful statement, where sin abounds, grace, and you might know the rest of it, much more abounds. That's right. So where there's sin, there's much grace. And then he asks this question, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And what does Paul answer? Certainly not. How shall we who did what? How shall we? It's in verse 2 of Romans 6. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? If we're dead to sin, how can we continue to live in it? And then he explains this concept of sin and death and salvation, beginning in verse 3. Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into what? His death. Our baptistry is behind that screen, and it's full of water. The Jordan River was full of water. Places where baptism was taken place, according to the Bible teaching, have been places of much water. In that baptistry today, it symbolizes the entrance of Shannon and Jessica and James into the death of Jesus. It's a burial. It is not at this moment a crucifixion. That decision is a decision they've made and will continue to make of personally surrendering their lives to Jesus. But today we're having a burial. A burial service of laying the old person in the water. Burying it. Glad you don't have to do it with dirt. That would be a very messy process. Burying it in that water. But burial is not the only thing that baptism symbolizes or celebrates. Therefore, verse 4, we were buried with him through baptism into death. That, there's a purpose statement. The burial is not the end of the story. Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. Jesus was buried, wasn't he? Friday, Joseph of Arimathea went to Pilate and said, Pilate, I want the body of Jesus. Pilate did some investigation and said, you can have the body of Jesus. He is dead. The centurion confirmed it. And so Jesus was carried and taken to the tomb. Joseph had a new tomb, and he was buried. But Sunday morning, when the believers came back to the tomb, what did they find? An empty tomb, because he what? He had risen. Our baptistry has no one in it right now. Because it's a place of burial and a place of resurrection. A place of burial and a place of resurrection. Jesus died but was raised by the glory or the power of the Father. And the Bible says, even so, we also should walk in what kind of life? Newness of life. For if we have been united in together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. The Christian rite of baptism symbolizes the liberty of human beings through the death and resurrection of Jesus from the shackles of sin. Can you say amen? So this morning, with all of the angels, we are celebrating a burial. An old life that's, by personal decision of Shannon and Jessica and James, been put to rest. We're also celebrating a new life. That through the power of Jesus permeates their lives and in a special way is celebrated as the baptismal candidates arise from the water. They are rising in a symbolic resurrection to a new life. Now the flesh will always be there to contend with us until it's ultimately put to death when this mortal puts on immortality. But Jesus Christ dwells in us, in the believer, and gives us power to live above the shackles and bondage of sin. Can you say amen? Amen? That is the symbol of baptism. That's what we're celebrating this morning, recognizing and participating in this rite that goes all the way back to the time of Judaism and continues to this day to symbolize the transition from the old to the new. So I want to ask, are you ready, Jessica? Okay, I'm going to ask Shannon and Jessica to come up, and James, but not yet. So we're going to wait. I want to do a little bit with... we have two incredible stories here this morning. Shannon and Jessica's story and James' story. And you will only hear a part of the story, but the part you hear will be enough to inspire you. And we will perhaps have the opportunity at a future time to hear more of the story. Now, this could always be interrupted. Shannon and Jessica are parents again for the third time. You can come up here. This is going to be maybe scary, but come up here. You'll survive. These people are nice. And so don't get, you've got to come a little closer because they got to hear you here. So all I was saying is this could be interrupted. How old is Ruby?
Ruby is 2 months old.
2 months old. So there's always a chance. My wife has Ruby back there, and you'll see Ruby up front. We're going to do a dedication after the baptism today. Can I tell a little bit of your story? I don't want to tell too much.
Yeah.
But how did it start? What was the first interaction you had where you sensed God leading you to something better? And I'm thinking of the health. I don't know if you want to tell anything about the health crisis, but if you just a little bit, I think would be helpful.
I think every new mom has a point in their life where they are reflective, especially those late nights and nights that turn into days without sleep. And I think that for me, after having my first child, it became very clear to me that I needed to do everything in my power to make sure that my body was as healthy as possible. And also as a new mother, there were just some things that happened where my son might not have grown the way that a growth chart might have said he should have grown. And so it caused me to be very reflective and look at myself. And so I was seeking out different ways to make sure that I was doing the best thing for my family and for my child. And I actually had met a person that was very, very, gave us a lot of good inspiration. But I actually heard a man speak about health in terms of the Bible, and I'd never heard that before. And I was surprised, and I thought, surely that the way that we're supposed to eat is in the Bible. I mean, that seemed so far-fetched to me. And so Shannon was with me, and we wrote down some of the passages that this man referred to, and we dug up a Bible and dusted off the dust on it and actually read some things about health. And so that was 4.5 years ago, and that was in some ways the beginning. Mm-hmm. Our good friend also suggested a vegetarian diet 4.5 years ago for us, and we actually transformed our lives more than you can imagine, just physically and mentally. And we saw reversal of certain issues that we both, certain diseases that we both had. So that right there was the beginning.
Pretty amazing.
Absolutely.
So the other thing that I will tell that I just learned the other day as we were talking is that Shannon lived in Lincoln. Jessica lived in Lincoln.
Yeah.
Shannon and Jessica have had some interactions with the health industry, not always the health food industry, but the health and the restaurant industry. Uh-huh. And their favorite foods were foods that even the best meat eaters know are probably not the best to consume. So, but the reason health is interesting, well, back to Lincoln. In Lincoln, she lived above a restaurant, mm-hmm. and your best friend or one of your friends mm-hmm. was a Seventh-day Adventist. God was knocking at her door all the way back in Lincoln. She wasn't ready for the knock, so it came back again. The reason they mentioned health is because God was at work in their lives, and at that point, they didn't realize God was preparing them for change, but God got their attention. And as he had their attention, we're going to skip a little bit here. Shannon, you both received something in the mail. What was that?
About 2 years ago in March, we received a booklet in the mail, and at the time, Jessica and I were attending a church in Pratt. It was a church that I'd been involved with since birth, and it was a church I was very comfortable with. We had a lot of friends in it. We were both very active. I was an usher, and she was involved in various women's activities and mm-hmm. in reading. But it was a church that celebrated on Sundays. And we got this booklet in the mail, and I read it, and it talked about celebrating on the Sabbath and how it was one of God's commandments, which up to that point was completely news to us.
We hadn't read them.
And there was a piece of paper you can send in that was attached to the booklet about a book called The Great Controversy. So I went ahead and filled it out and mailed it in, and it came very quickly. And when I got it in the mail again, that book, I read it. I kind of skipped around, but I was just amazed what I was reading. And it pointed to a lot of false teachings and doctrines and customs and traditions that we were practicing at the time. So it really caught our attention. And that same day, Jessica was working at the bank at the time, and so I called her on the phone, and our newspaper in Pratt, which is where we live, has a section that has all the listings of all the churches in the surrounding 3 or 4 counties. And I said, find all the churches that celebrate on the Sabbath, and we'll try to attend one. And she called back, and she says, well, we found one. And it was the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and it was listed for one in Pratt. Mm-hmm. I said, well, great. So that day I went and drove by the church, and it was still there. And the thing that struck me was it had the Revelation passage on it, 14:6-10. And I said, well, I'm going to go get dressed up and go next Saturday morning. So I went by, next Saturday I went by about 10:45, and there was no cars there, and the door was locked. And I said, well, this is not good. But there was a neighbor standing next to the church, and he was outside, and so I went and talked to him, and I said, has this church been active for a while? And he says, no, it's been shut down for a long time. In fact, he was the one that was mowing the grass and kind of keeping up the outside a little bit. He says, and he happened to be a minister in another church in town. And he says, are you looking for a church? Well, I said, well, yeah, I'm looking for one that celebrates on Saturday or the Sabbath. He says, well, he didn't really know what I was talking about, so he said, well, okay. But anyway, so we went to the internet, and we found two churches in our area that were close, the Harper Church and the Three Angels Church here. And I sent an email out to the Harper Church, and in the meantime, we was very anxious, so we actually attended a service here one Sabbath
okay,
morning.
Okay, that's enough.
Okay.
That's good. We've got to get there. I want to say three things. Did you hear where he said they're from? They're from Pratt, Kansas. Pratt, Kansas. The closest next church we found out is in Great Bend, 45 minutes away. Hour and a half to come. So they're in Pratt. They have no St. Thomas Fellowship. The church has been closed. Why was it in the newspaper when they looked? Because God was leading. The other thing that I wanted to mention is Jessica was reading for services one Sunday morning, and her reading was the Ten Commandments. She was reviewing it home from her Bible, from Exodus 20, and when she got to church to read, she saw that the fourth commandment was in brackets. And that was very disturbing. So while Shannon is reading Great Controversy and reading the story about Sabbath and Sunday from the other book, at the same time frame is this experience where she goes to read and finds that the Sabbath is bracketed in her morning reading. And so all this gets them going. And it ends up coming around to where Shannon was at. They came to church here that morning, first time in an Adventist church, and we ended up starting a friendship. And I don't know what you want to say next, but now you can continue your story.
Do you want to say anything? Well, we attended the Sabbath service here, and we was really impressed. We felt welcomed. Pastor Nathan welcomed us right away at the door, it seemed like, and we enjoyed it. We enjoyed the service, and like Jessica alluded to earlier, there was a potluck afterwards, and we seen, you know, the vegetarian, and, you know, that was really appealed to us at the time because that was the direction we was going in. And
I was just almost in tears when I saw the first potluck here because I had already made that change in my life. And potlucks were always so scary. I mean, a lot of you probably know that. When you go to a potluck with other people, you hate to be the one to have to ask the questions. You know, you hate to ask what, is there dairy, is there meat, you know, or what is this? And so we were really, really struggling with that. So when I walked in here and saw that, I just truly... I mean, it just struck my heart more than I could understand. I mean, yeah.
Well, thank you for sharing the story. So to wrap up the story, where we're at right now today is that we've had the privilege of studying over the phone many nights, and because they have children, the best time of study is between 9 and 11 o'clock at night. So my poor wife, bless her heart, I come home, and she's ready to see me, and I say, well, I'm going to have a phone call. Actually, she's very supportive. She's very supportive. But you can just know part of the pastor's wife, she loses her pastor often to ministry. So that's a thank you to my wife, and it's her gift to you that you may never know that you've received.
Can I say one more thing?
You can say one more thing.
I'm sorry. I just also wanted to say that in the meantime of all of this happening, Shannon had emailed Donovan Foster at the Harper Seventh-day Adventist Church. And we were really anxious, and I think that weekend we just went ahead and came to Wichita. Well, there was one Saturday afternoon, I just had a baby, because that's kind of the story of my life. I just had a baby, last 4 years. And Shannon had taken our oldest son and was gone, and I was at home with the new baby, and Donovan and Ken showed up at my door one Saturday, and I did not know them. And they told me who they were, and I just immediately opened up the door and invited them in.
Amen.
Which is interesting, because I told my husband about that later, and he said, you did what? But I have to tell you that I met Donovan and Ken, and they glowed. And I knew instantly that I wanted to welcome them into my living room and into our lives. And so they're here.
Amen.
With their friends, Gary and
Roxanne. You need to stand up. I want them to stand up. These are folks from the Harper Church that have had a very important influence mm-hmm. in the story of yes. Shannon and Jessica. And thank you so much for coming.
And their wives.
And when we can, we go to Harper when we can to attend yeah. Sabbath service once in a while as well.
Yes. So thank you to them. And
yes, we're so glad that you came. Thank you for coming. Do you have anything you want to add to the story?
It was just special.
Amen. Amen.
We shut down our church today to be here because we love these people.
Praise the Lord. Thank you. Well, thank you so much. Glad you're here. This means a lot. Yes, Gina.
When you guys first came to our church, what was it, three years ago maybe?
Almost two.
Okay. Personally, I was going through a very hard time. My dad had just died. And we were going through some real challenges as a couple with our ministry. We'd had some rough times, and I was very discouraged. And I remember walking out from Sabbath school, and I saw you guys standing there. I've never seen them before. And I remember introducing myself, and I said, well, are you from another church? And you said, I think it was you, Shannon. You said, well, we've been studying the Bible, and we've discovered Saturday is the Sabbath, and that you should be vegetarian, so we found your church.
That's true. Amen.
And I was really struggling even with prayer at that point, because I'm like, well, it didn't save my dad, so where are you? You know, and you can't talk about that as a pastor's wife, because you're supposed to be the prayer warrior and everything else. And I was at a crisis in my life, and seeing you standing there, I'm like, wow. And then you talked to me during potluck about how the priest didn't read the Bible. And I'm like, wow, these guys have been in touch with Jesus. And he sent them to us. And you strengthened my faith without even you ever knowing it. And I was just impressed by the fact that no matter where you are in life, no matter where you live, God will find you if you're ready. So I just wanted to say that you guys were a blessing to me.
Well, yes, I will dismiss you. The end of the story the story where it stands right now is God has been working miracles in their lives, and we're just privileged to have this intersection with your life. So continue walking with him. You can go sit down. We're going to have James up, and then we'll sure. move from there. So James, why don't you come up and... I'll put the reins on. James, brother, why don't you stand up and Flo? Do you mind standing? You don't have to come up. Just stand up. Flo is his wife. James and Mark is James' brother. James' other brother, Jim, right?
Mark. Or John.
John was here. You can sit down now. John was here a few weeks ago when he was when you were patched in with the Sabbath Keeper's motorcycle ministry. And that actually has a huge part to do with your story. You want to tell us very briefly what got your attention?
I think all of you that's read the Bible know the story of Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus. And what he was doing prior to that. That's me. And you all know what happened to Saul. His name was changed to Paul. Well, he was on the road to Damascus, and you all know what happened. He got struck by a bolt of lightning, some say, or whatever, and he got knocked off his donkey. And he was blind for a period of time. Well, the same thing happened to me. I wasn't ready. I'd been avoiding God for years. I was riding my Harley Davidson down the street one day, minding my own business. This pickup truck come flying out of a parking lot with a drunk driver behind the wheel. He killed me. Then he took me to the hospital and started operations. That first operation, I flatlined on him twice. The third time, if it hadn't been for my wife and her mother sitting in my room talking, I'd have died then too. My brain was messed up. I was in a coma for 10 days. My brain didn't even start functioning for 3.5 weeks. It took me almost another month before I could talk coherently anyway. Do you start laying in a hospital in that kind of pain for that kind of time? And you start asking why? 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 This couple over here, they were ready. I wasn't. But like Saul of Tarsus, God made me say, wake up. It's time for you to get busy. And I did. I'd been coming here off and on for probably 10 years now. I was an aircraft cabinet builder. I traveled all over the world working on airplanes. When I was home between jobs, I'd come out here once in a while. You know, both my brothers are Adventists. And I understood the concept, but it was like, I ain't got time for that. When God makes you a cripple, you learn, you listen, you find out. They told my wife they didn't know if I'd be a vegetable or if I'd ever be able to walk again.
Amen.
Came here in August, saw the seminar. I had been smoking since I was 15 years old. I'll be 60 in July. At that seminar, I took on faith the healing part of the scriptures he was talking about that particular evening. I tried quitting smoking 6 times. That's like a junkie trying to kick heroin. Mm-mm. Ain't gonna happen. I get out of the hospital from being busted up in a wheelchair. I get outside. Within 4 days. What's the first thing I do? I get a cigarette. The point that I'm trying to get at is when I try to do it by myself, it was impossible. When I took it on as a matter of faith, it was the easiest thing I ever did. It was like nothing, you know? Since that seminar, I've been working with Pastor Nathan, and we've been studying a lot of different things, and there's a lot of things I've come around to understand. This is one of them. But you hear people being ready and wanting to. No, I was completely the opposite. Mm-mm. I had to get knocked off my horse, my steel horse. Scared my wife to death. I'm sorry, darling. But there's a lot of similarities going on here that you don't know the background in. My wife's prior husband died from a drunk driver in an automobile accident. On the same day of the week, the same month of the year, the same October 13th, Wednesday, her husband died in 1988, and I almost died in 2010. You folks are from Lincoln, Nebraska, or were in Lincoln, Nebraska. Did you ever hear of a club up there called the Plainsman? MC? I rode with them. I also was the road captain for Beta, Nebraska for 2 years. The first Adventist I met, name was Helton Blackburn, in Lincoln, Nebraska. Big man. You're talking about a walking mountain kind of a man. typical biker, I go to Kager's and, you know, everything that ensues. Well, Blackie is what we called him. He sat by a post. There was only one way in and one way out. He didn't drink. But he's probably the strongest man you'll ever know. Well, I got kind of eyes crossed, we'll put it that way. And I go to ride out. Blackie took the bike literally right out from under me, shut it off, picked me up by the scruff of my neck, threw me up against a fence and threw a sleeping bag at me and said, sleep it off. I never drank and drive after that, ever. Mm. And I started slowing down on my drinking pretty much after that, too. Mm. What brought me here today is not a road that I would wish on my worst enemy. Mm. It was painful for me and the loved ones around me. Because of my hard head, my hard heart, they wept. Mm. Very much so. And learning how to walk, learning how to talk, learning how to do all the things that everybody takes for granted. You know, I had to redo. But without knowing awful other things that went into it, there was, from the moment that I was hit, there was a series of miracles that happened that if any one of them had been out of place, I'd be dead right then. First gal that got to me, she was an off-duty EMT. She called the people that she knew was going to be dispatched, told them exactly what was going on. They had the ambulance prepped and everything before they got there, and they were rolling 3 minutes before they got the 911 call to roll. Mm. When they got there, they knew exactly what was going on. You know, usually they go out there and they do all their check-in, and then they put you on the gurney and put you in the ambulance. Mm-mm. They took the gurney out, put me on in it. They already knew what was going on. I was rolling. The second gal that got to me, off-duty ER nurse at St. Francis, that's where they took me to. Same thing. She's calling in people, telling them what's up. You know? From the time I was hit until they split me open was 40 minutes. If I'd have been out of town, if those two people just hadn't happened to be where they were at that time, my wife would have buried me that day. Mm. And when she told me this, and when she told me about all the things that the witnesses had told her, that's when I started asking God why. Mm. Because of all the sinners in the world, I was the worst. Mm. Why did he bestow upon me life when I did not deserve it? Mm. So, that's don't write again. That's right. That's right. That's part of my continuing TBI. I had a class 2 brain share. My memory gets a little fuzzy sometimes.
Well, we're so excited. Amen. That's right. So excited for this day. Shane, Jessica, why don't you join us up here, and then we're going to move to our offering and special music when we go back. But join us up front and... we're going to review together. And I'd invite anyone in the audience, in your heart, feel free to make a recommitment today of your life to Jesus as we review these points of faith. You can just say, I do, after each one. I believe there is one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, a unity of three co-eternal persons. I accept the death and I accept the death of Jesus Christ on Calvary as the atoning sacrifice for my sins, and believe that through faith in His shed blood, I am saved from sin and its penalty. I renounce the world and its sinful ways, and have accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, believing that God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven my sins and given me a new heart. I accept by faith the righteousness of Christ, my intercessor in the heavenly sanctuary, and accept His promise of transforming grace and power to live a loving, Christ-centered life in my home and before the world. I believe that the Bible is God's inspired word, the only rule of faith and practice for the Christian, I covenant to spend time regularly in prayer and Bible study.
I do.
I accept the Ten Commandments as a transcript of the character of God and a revelation of His will. It is my purpose, by the power of the indwelling Christ, to keep this law of, including the fourth commandment, which requires the observance of the seventh day of the week as the Sabbath of the Lord and the memorial of creation. I look forward to the soon coming of Jesus and the blessed hope when this mortal shall put on immortality. As I prepare to meet the Lord, I will witness to His loving salvation and by life and word help others to be ready for His glorious appearing. I accept the biblical teaching of spiritual gifts and believe that the gift of prophecy is one of the identifying marks of the remnant church.
I
believe in church organization. It is my purpose to support the church by my tithes and offerings and by my personal effort and influence. I believe that my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit and will honor God by caring for it, avoiding the use of that which is harmful, abstaining from all unclean foods, from the use, manufacture, or sale of alcoholic beverages, the use, manufacture, or sale of tobacco in any of its forms for human consumption, and from the misuse of or trafficking in narcotics or other drugs. I know and understand the fundamental Bible principles as taught by the Seventh-day Adventist Church. I purpose, by the grace of God, to fulfill His will by ordering my life in harmony with these principles. I accept the New Testament teaching of baptism by immersion and desire to be so baptized as a public expression of faith in Christ and His forgiveness of my sin. I accept and believe that the Seventh-day Adventist Church is the remnant church of Bible prophecy and that people of every nation, race, and language are invited and accepted into its fellowship. I desire to be a member of this local congregation of the World Church. Amen. With that, we're going to, I'm going to ask if there is anyone in the congregation who would like to make a motion to welcome these Shannon, Jessica, and James into fellowship here at Three Angels. Is there someone who would like to make that motion? And I'll invite the Harper Church to join us in this vote. I know that that's certainly on your hearts as well. We'd like to split it if we could. Okay, all who would like to do, who would like to affirm that, would you raise your hands? Yes, so you will be welcomed officially pending your baptism. So we're going to go up top. It's time for the offering and then special music. And then if there's any time after that, Kevin will take a song. A little bit of this.